I stood on stage at a Martin Luther King Jr. oratorical contest wearing a flashy golden brown blazer that contrasted sharply with my competitors' somber suits. The irony wasn't lost on me later. Representing Stonewall Jackson High School, named after a Confederate general, while delivering a speech that blamed black youth for their own struggles. I separated myself from them, ordinary black youth, while serving up racist ideas about my people to my people. The audience applauded enthusiastically. I failed to realize that claiming something is wrong with a racial group is to promote racist ideas. I had been manipulated into seeing black people as the problem rather than the policies that ensnare them. This moment exemplifies how racism operates, not just through explicit hatred, but through internalized narratives that blame marginalized groups for their own marginalization. What I didn't understand then was that racism isn't just about individual prejudice, it's about power structures that create and maintain racial inequities. Think about how often we hear narratives about cultural problems in certain communities without examining the policies that created those conditions. How many of us have nodded along to explanations that locate the source of inequality within marginalized groups themselves? The journey to anti-racism begins when we start questioning these comfortable explanations and look instead at the systems that produce racial disparities. Definitions anchor our principles and goals. A racist supports racist policies through actions, inaction, or expressing racist ideas. An anti-racist actively supports anti-racist policies and expresses anti-racist ideas. Racism is the combination of racist policies and ideas that normalizes racial inequities. For example, the disparity between white families, 71%, and black families, 41%, in home ownership illustrates racial inequity. A racist policy produces or sustains racial inequity between racial groups, while an anti-racist policy produces equity. Every policy either produces racial inequity or equity. There is no race-neutral middle ground. The pursuit of a race-neutral society more than the alt-right poses the greatest threat by inadvertently feeding white nationalist victimhood. A racist idea suggests racial hierarchy. An anti-racist idea affirms racial equality despite apparent differences. Our language choices matter. When we frame disparities as achievement gaps rather than opportunity gaps, or cultural deficiencies instead of policy failures, we shape how racial inequities are understood and addressed. Race is a social construct without scientific basis. At 7, experiencing racial puberty, I noticed our school's racial power dynamics, one black teacher among mostly black students. I identify as black for cultural, historical, and political reasons, connecting to a global community of shared experiences, even though race lacks biological meaning. The concept of race emerged with Portugal's Prince Henry the Navigator's 15th century slave trading policies. His biographer, Gomes de Zarara, became the first race maker by categorizing diverse African peoples as one group to justify enslavement. Racist policies emerged from self-interest, with racist ideas following as justification. Racism stems not from ignorance or hate, but from power and economic interests. Colonizers developed theories of inferiority to justify their existing exploitation. Common, ineffective approaches to fighting racism include viewing it as a social construct, blaming ignorance over self-interest, and assuming inevitable progress. The failure doctrine deflects responsibility by blaming others instead of examining flawed methods. Challenges to my academic work revealed the gap between theory and action, leading me to found the Anti-Racist Research and Policy Center in 2017. Uniting scholars and advocates for policy solutions. Eliminating racial inequity requires recognizing that policies create inequity, identifying it in all forms, investigating racist policies, and developing anti-racist solutions while working with allies. We must treat racism like a public health crisis, not a moral failing. Like addressing diseases through prevention rather than blame, we should focus on inequitable policies rather than individuals to create meaningful change. Ethnic racism creates hierarchies between racialized groups. As an eighth grader, I participated in cruel jokes targeting a Ghanaian classmate, perpetuating dehumanizing stereotypes rooted in slave trade narratives. Colorism breeds inequities between light and dark people. At university, wearing lighter contacts while keeping natural black hairstyles reflected my struggle between assimilationist and anti-racist thinking. Dark students face lower GPAs, reduced employment opportunities regardless of qualifications, and worse health and legal outcomes. Gender racism creates stark disparities. Black women with degrees earn less than white women with high school education and face higher maternal mortality. My parents demonstrated complexity in gender roles, though traditional expectations persisted. True anti-racism requires recognizing these intersecting identities. One cannot be anti-racist while maintaining other discriminatory views. The 35-year life expectancy of transgender black women starkly illustrates these intersections. When we overlook these connections, we miss racism's true operation and risk privileging certain experiences while silencing others. At a Martin Luther King Jr. oratorical contest, I stood out in a golden brown blazer among dark-suited competitors. My Hampton University acceptance, despite being a 3.0 student, felt surreal during basketball practice. The irony was clear. Representing Stonewall Jackson High School, named for a Confederate general, at an MLK contest. My speech unwittingly reinforced racist ideas by criticizing black youth while the audience applauded. My identity struggles manifested in wearing lighter contacts while embracing natural black hairstyles, caught between assimilationist and anti-racist thinking. I sought to be black but not look black. At Florida A&M University, I witnessed the praise of light-skinned women and derision of darker ones. My later exclusive dating of dark women merely inverted rather than eliminated this colorist hierarchy. The journey to anti-racism remains ongoing as I work to identify and replace internalized racist ideas, a personal evolution reflecting society's broader struggle toward equity. Racism isn't natural. It's a human creation less than 6 centuries old, and what's created can be destroyed. There's no neutral ground. We're either actively opposing racism or complicit in maintaining inequities. Progress demands both personal growth and policy change. We must confront internalized racist ideas while dismantling discriminatory institutional policies. This isn't about guilt, but justice. An anti-racist society ensures equal opportunities and outcomes between groups, focusing on fixing harmful policies rather than blaming individuals. Resources would be distributed equitably. The choice is clear: support policies that perpetuate racial inequities or work toward anti-racist alternatives. By dismantling hierarchies of race, class, gender, and sexuality, we create space for all to thrive. The anti-racist journey requires ongoing self-reflection and commitment. Though challenging, this path toward healing costs far less than maintaining racial inequity.